very stirring words. I was just picturing myself standing on that ship. I want to greet each one of you in the name of Jesus. Welcome. Thank you for being here. Why don't we kneel for prayer? Father, which art in heaven, we just want to lay our lives out before you. You are the potter, we are the clay. We don't know what all you have in store for each one of us, but we do trust you. Lord, we just want to say, have thine own way, Lord. Mold us and make us after your will. While we are waiting, yielded and still, thank you for what you've done already, the work you've begun in us. You've promised you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for all the perils, toils, and snares you brought us through. His grace has brought us thus far, and grace will lead us home. Lord, we thank you for each one that's here. We just pray that your spirit would flow through me today, that your word could minister to each one of us. Help us that we could have good soil in our hearts to receive your word. God, we just ask that if there's anyone that is hardening their heart against you, that their heart would be softened and broken upon the rock. Christ Jesus, we pray for anyone that is discouraged this morning, that they could be encouraged. We pray for anyone that is in despair, that they could have hope. Just pray that if there's anyone that's captive to sin, that they could be liberated. God, we just pray you'd come and feed your people this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You can open your Bible to John chapter 8. Begin reading in verse 31. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Praise the Lord. That's where I derived my title from this morning, our key verse, John 8:36. If the Son shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. And I'm excited about this message and about seeing what God will speak to us today. I want to start out with some questions and I'm going to give you an overview of the message. We're going to be looking at some definitions of the word freedom, liberty, slave and bondage. We're going to look at number 2, verses on liberty and freedom. Number 3, are you free? Number 4, ways people try to seek freedom. Number 5, freedom indeed in Jesus Christ. So here's a few questions. How do we know what freedom is? Is it possible to feel free and yet be in bondage? How do we know if we are in bondage or not? Can a person feel like they're in bondage and yet be free? Is there something like true and false freedom? How can we tell the difference between freedom indeed and the servant of unrighteousness? What different kinds of freedoms are there? How can we tell what kind of freedom a young person is pursuing? So hopefully we can gain some answers through the message here. Let's first look at a few definitions. We're going to look at the word freedom. Seems like that is something everyone likes. I just saw a sign down by Lake Buckhorn. I guess next Sunday is that day, you know, everybody likes 4th of July, freedom. There's a big sign, freedom. And I had to think, the word freedom is actually not used very often in the Bible. It's used two times, one in the Old Testament, one in the New. The one in the Old Testament refers to a bondmaid that is given freedom for certain reasons. The next one is when Paul mentions that with a great sum obtained I this freedom. The word freedom in the Webster's, a state of exemption from the power or control of another. Liberty, exemption from slavery, servitude, or confinement. Freedom is personal, civil, political, and religious. Another definition, exemption from necessity or any constraint in consequence of predetermination or otherwise, as the freedom of the will. Any exemption from constraint or control. We like that definition, don't we? Feels good to be free. Liberty would be a synonym. Liberty is used 27 times in the Bible. It has a very similar definition. Freedom from restraint in a general sense and applicable to the body or to the will or mind. The body is at liberty when not confined. The will or mind is at liberty when not checked or controlled. A man enjoys liberty when no physical force operates to restrain his actions or volitions. Natural liberty consists of the power of acting as one thinks fit without any restraint or control, except from the laws of nature. It is a state of exemption from the control of others and from positive laws and the institutions of social life. This liberty is abridged by the establishment of government. Then we have civil liberty. Is the liberty of men in a state of society or natural liberty so far only abridged and restrained as is necessary and expedient for the safety and in interest of the society, state, or nation? A restraint of natural liberty is not necessary or expedient for the public. A restraint of natural liberty, is a restraint of natural liberty, not necessary or expedient for the public, is called tyranny or oppression. Civil liberty is an exemption from the arbitrary will of others, which exemption is secured by established laws, which restrain every man from injuring or controlling another. Hence, the restraint of law are essential to civil liberty. The liberty of one depends not so much on the removal of all restraint from him as on the due restraint upon the liberty of others. Sort of a little bit heavyweight definition there. We come to religious liberty. Is the free right of adopting and enjoying opinions on religious subjects and of worshiping the supreme being according to your conscience without external control. Praise God for religious liberty that we're still enjoying. Some of our brothers and sisters are not enjoying that like they used to. Now let's look at the word bondage. This is used 39 times in the Bible. Definition is slavery or involuntary servitude, captivity, imprisonment, restraint of a person's liberty by compulsion. In Scripture, spiritual subjection to one's corrupt passions or to the yoke of ceremonial laws. That's what bondage means. If someone is in bondage, they're in slavery to something, or they are out of control of their circumstances. They have to serve whoever they're in slavery to. The word slave is used 2 times in the Bible. And I think in our King James, the word servant is the main one that's used, which is used over 1,000 times. The definition of slave is a person who is wholly subject to the will of another, one who has no will of his own, but whose person and services are wholly under the control of another. In the early state of the world, and to this day among some barbarous nations, persons, prisoners of war, are considered and treated as slaves. The slave of modern times are more generally purchased, like horses and oxen. One who has lost the power of resistance, or one who surrenders himself to any power whatever as a slave to passion, to lust, or to ambition. So hopefully this gives us a little foundation to spring off of for the message. We want to talk today about freedom indeed. I want this to be an encouraging message for each one of us. And as you noticed in our definitions, those first two were really encouraging, talking about freedom and liberty. And the last two were more solemn, thinking about being under restraint. But if we think about who we are to be a servant of, it really is not a hard thing. If you're a servant to Jesus Christ and are under his control, what freedom. What a freedom. I want to just think a few minutes about how much people will, what they will undertake and go through to gain what they would consider freedom. Let's just think about people down in South America, Central America, that just think United States is the best place on earth. And they just want so bad to get to the United States, and they are willing to cross the dangers of the desert and go without food and water, and they do whatever they can to gain what they consider freedom. Let's think about back in the 1800s, the slaves. Oh, they just longed to go up north. And they longed for this freedom, where they wouldn't have to go out and work hard and be beaten and sleep on the ground, and where they could have freedom, be able to think for themselves. And so they were willing to risk their life to get freedom. What is the price tag on freedom in your mind? How much are you willing to sacrifice to get free, to have that freedom? As we'll see later on, we're going to apply this in the spiritual side of things. But these people, they were willing to go through swamps. They were willing to sleep in the woods. They were willing to go without food and water. They were willing to brave the dangers of meeting people they didn't know. They were willing to, I mean, the things that we think are bare basics were just like good food and good place to sleep. They went without those things because they had their eyes set on freedom. I've heard already that Ohio had 6 underground railroads, and I think one went through Holmes County. Underground railroad, people seeking freedom. How about the gold rush? You think that was driven by a desire for freedom? You know, more money gives you more freedom. But I should read up on that more, but I think a lot of them didn't find the freedom they wanted to in that rush. How about the people in North Korea that want freedom, willing to cross electric fences and and open gunfire and so forth to get freedom. Point number two, I want to look at some verses on freedom here. I'm just going to go down and read quickly through these. In Leviticus 25, 10, it says, "And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his family." Psalm 119:45, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Isaiah 61:1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Jesus quotes that in Luke 4, and he also says to set at liberty those that are bruised. Romans 8:21, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." 1 Corinthians 7:39, "The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 8:9, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." 1 Corinthians 10:29, "For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience?" 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Praise God. Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." James 1:25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." James 2:12, "So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." 1 Peter 2:16, "As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." 2 Peter 2:19, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage." Psalm 51:12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Isaiah 58:6, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free?" I'm almost done here. John 8:32, from our key passage, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Romans 5:16, "But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." Romans 6:18, "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Romans 6:22, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." 2 Thessalonians 3:1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified." So, hope that was encouraging to you, talking about the freedom that God gives. Now let's look at point number three. And I have a lot of questions in this point for us to consider. Are you free? Am I free? 1 Corinthians talks about us being bought with a price. You know, our freedom, whatever we experience, didn't come without somebody working hard for it. You know, our freedom that we have in Christ came with a big price, like we heard this morning, the sacrifice of Jesus. And even our freedom we have in our country was bought with the lives of people that fought for freedom many years ago. So I could ask the question, are we free to do as we please? am I free just to make all my own decisions and just run my life and disregard everyone else? Is that true freedom? Is that what you think about when you think of freedom? Go where I want to go, do what I want to do, say what I want to say. It's all about me, myself, and I. Is that what you think about freedom? Is that freedom? That's good. We might be free to make those decisions, but we have to reap our consequences. Is that true freedom? Are you free to be who God made you to be? How about the way God made you? Maybe let's just think a little bit about the body God gave you. Maybe your amount of hair or lack of it. Maybe your height. Maybe your complexion. Maybe you have freckles. Some people don't like those. Do you find a freedom in your heart to thank God for who you are? Do you find a freedom in your heart to just be who God made you? Are you restful in the place God has you in life? How about the family God put you in? Maybe we could ask that one to the young people. Are you restful with the family God put you in? Do you wish you'd be in someone else's family? Or how about your work? You wish you could be in a different work. Or maybe your church. You wish you could be in a different church. Is your heart at rest? Is your heart free being under authority? I'm especially speaking to the younger generation, as we tend to face more of that growing up. Do you feel that resistance in your heart when your authority speaks into your life? You know, I remember years ago, I always wanted to serve the Lord. I determined that when God speaks to me, I want to listen. I didn't want to resist God. But it took a while till I realized God was speaking to me. But then the Lord put my father in my life. And I just remember feeling those feelings of resistance when he would talk to me. But I knew this is the wrong way to feel. But I just felt these, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, before I was converted, I would speak back and try to have the last word, and I knew that can't be right. So, but I struggled with that for years and years, just feeling that chafing in there, that resistance, even after I was born again. So I want to ask that question, you know, are you finding a place of rest as young people with your authorities? Are you finding freedom in that area? What is controlling your life? Is how about peer pressure? Or worldliness, fads, fashions, friends, parents, authorities, God, the Bible. What is controlling your life? What is that thing that is motivating you as young people? There's many people out there that think that they're free for sure when they can just do what they want. When actually, they're a slave to me, myself, and I. Or a slave to sin. Many rebellious youth leave home to get more freedoms. They only find that they step from the frying pan into the fire. They now have all the bills to pay. Their cost of living goes up. They get in trouble with the law. They are like kicking against the pricks. Is that freedom? Is that freedom? We read in Luke about this centurion that came to Jesus, or he sent servants to Jesus, and he said, I have this servant that needs to be healed. So Jesus said, okay, I'll come and heal him. Then the servants, the centurion sent servants and said, you don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus marveled. He said, I have not seen so great faith. No, not in Israel. Here was a man that had a great understanding of authority and how it should work. He just said, Jesus, just speak the word. And that was amazing. Jesus was amazed at that. So I was thinking, how can we appropriate that in our life? If we can get a grip on the blessing of godly authority on the home level, the church level, even being respectful to the law and all those things, the blessing, the power behind being in God's order. Now maybe you may say, well, what do we do when the authorities are evil and wicked and obeying them brings into bondage? What do we do then? What if my parents really don't have good in mind for me? What do I do then? Maybe we can have comments during testimony time on that one. Are you free? 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Maybe this is our answer. That God's eyes are watching you and he's seeing how you respond. There was a couple years ago, we were up in the hospital with our daughter. Maybe it was, how much was that? A year and a half ago. And the brother, maybe it was about 2 years ago. A little over 2 years. And a brother came up there and he said, Joel, I know this is a hard situation, but the bottom line is how you respond to it. We can't control how people will treat us, but we can endeavor by God's help to respond right. You may think, how can I ever be free if I always do what my authorities say? I guess it depends what your view of freedom is. Maybe that will answer one of our questions in the front. Is there a way to feel like you're in bondage and still be and actually be free? I believe that is true. That if you're under the authorities that are God has placed over you, you might feel sort of restricted or whatever, but I believe that's actually the freest place for you to be. Is there a load of sin on your heart? Have you been doing what feels good, what the lust of the flesh has directed you to do? You've looked at the wrong stuff. You've done something seeking what the flesh would say is freedom. You're not free. The Bible says you're not free. The Bible says who you yield your members to, you're going to be that servant. You're a slave to sin. Sin is having power over your life. You are in bondage. The Bible says in Psalm 68:6 that God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. If you think of a dry and barren desert, that is the picture of a rebellious person. Someone who is rebelling against the authorities God places in their life. It's a dry land. I have personally watched rebellious youth, what the damage they do to their family. And it's the cause of much wasted time and energy and resources. The stress and struggle and sighs and tears it causes to parents. In the meantime, the youth is sowing wild oats that will need to be reaped someday. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible says in Galatians For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I'll ask the question, who's the free person? Who's free? The one who reaps corruption or the one who reaps life everlasting? Who's the free person? Amen. Life everlasting, free person. Whatever it takes to reap that is worth it. That's what we call freedom indeed, brothers. That's freedom indeed. Life everlasting is freedom indeed. Being under godly authority brings freedom. Being rebellious against God's authority structure brings bondage. Choose what you want for your life. Choose this day whom you will serve. I have a little story about a young man before our next point that was doing this rebellious thing, and he got himself a crotch rocket, and he decides he's going to enjoy some freedom. Speed. Freedom. And he, one day, was cruising down the freeway and sees this law officer, decides he's going to have some fun. So he passes him just for kicks in the triple digits. And, of course, this set up a chase, and he evades the law and gets off on a side road and escapes, as he so thought. But by the providence of God, a paper flies out of his back pocket with his name and address on it, which was found, and you can tell the rest of the story. He didn't gain any freedom from that. So you can decide what you want for yourself. God's way always brings freedom. Being under authority always brings more freedom. Being rebellious always brings less freedom. Okay, let's go to our next point. The ways people seek freedom. In 2021, there are many ways people are seeking freedom. And it's going so far even to think they can be free to be a different gender. And things like that. It's so far out. It's so far away from God's order. It's just awful to even speak about it. Maybe people seek freedom by owning things. You think, if I could just have that something else. If I could just buy that new house or that new truck or that car or that boat. Or if I could just have that new, you fill in the blanks. Maybe that would just give me that sense of freedom that I would like to have. Maybe they get into drugs. They want that high. Maybe that sense of freedom, what they would consider freedom. Maybe people think they can get freedom or feel more free by dressing in different clothes. Maybe they think that freedom would be getting rid of their modest clothes and getting some tight clothes, maybe some more revealing clothes, maybe something that's more stylish, maybe shorter sleeves, or you name it. Seeking freedom. Trading the simple natural beauty God has given for rings, necklaces, jewelry, lace, hairdos, and makeup. Freedom? Is that where freedom lies? Maybe they seek freedom by power and speed. Maybe they think that freedom is going down the seven-lick hill in the three digits. Maybe that would bring a sense of freedom until you get pulled over. Then you can reconsider if it's freedom or not. Maybe freedom is blowing clouds of black smoke into the air. Maybe someone might think if they could race and beat every car in the county, they could really be free.
There's another story I want to tell you about this young man that had a bunch of these glory stories, you know, escaping and all that. And anyway, it finally caught up with him one day and got 8 points on his license to start out with. Freedom? I don't think so. Okay, maybe you could have freedom once you own your own car. Wow, what freedom would that be? Own your own car. How about if you don't like getting up in the morning, maybe that would just be the ultimate freedom to be able to sleep in every morning. If I could just go without these alarm clocks and this restraint and all this work I have to do, if I could just sleep in, maybe that would be freedom. How about money? If I could just have all the money I would like, then I could be free. If I could just have that big business going, a lot of money, I could really be free. Then I wouldn't have to work so hard. I could just go and travel around and enjoy life. I could have the American dream. Is that true freedom? Now, one thing maybe you've noticed about this last point here is it's all about who. Me, myself, and I. It's all about me. And what we're going to see in our next point is how true freedom is not focused on myself. Let's look at our point number five. Let's turn to Romans 8. Romans 8 seems like our brother Apostle Paul had some wonderful insights into what true freedom is. Now therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, brothers, this is true freedom. I'm excited about this last point. This is where we're going to find freedom, is walking after the Spirit, letting Christ dwell in us by faith. As we see in verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Those things we were reading off there, like the power and the speed and the fashion and all those different things, we're being carnally minded. And the Bible says it brings death. It doesn't bring freedom. It doesn't bring true freedom. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Praise God. What a more invigorating thing than God's Spirit in your heart. What a more liberating and freeing thing than God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There we have one of our words that we looked up. And he says, we have not received spirit of bondage, but the spirit of adoption. Verse 16, the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Just a few more verses here. For I reckon, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Let's take notice of verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. What a day that will be. When we'll find out how corruptible our bodies are. You know, my wife's grandfather, 87 years old, just passed away on... I think about a week ago. You know, one day he was there and the next day he wasn't. Our bodies are corruptible. We don't like to think about that. It's not very nice thought to think about, but it's true. But praise God, someday we will experience real liberty for our bodies. There's a song that we listen to the shop. Talks about we're better than chained up in this clay. On this mortal body we stay. You know, we're in this mortal body and we're almost like a prisoner in our body. Our spirit can't leave till we die. And so let's think about... how can we appropriate this freedom indeed in our hearts? Being a child of God is freedom indeed. To be able to call him Abba Father, that's freedom. Having hope of eternal life is freedom indeed. Bearing the reproach of Christ is freedom indeed. Exhorting one another daily is freedom. Obey them that watch for your souls. That's freedom. As you've noticed, there are individuals that have not done that, and you can judge for yourselves whether that's freedom or not. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. That's freedom. I don't know if you've noticed when you discipline your children, it's just like there's a cloud in their sky, and as soon as there's a surrender of the will, the clouds blow away and there's freedom again. How can it be that chastening brings freedom, that pain brings something good? It's amazing. It's God's plan. Thinking more highly of others than yourself, that's freedom. How about, did you ever meet a selfish person? Would you like to spend your vacation with him? Me, myself, and I is really attractive, isn't it? Well, I don't think so. I think thinking of others is true freedom. God and others. Love God, love your neighbor. That's freedom indeed. Praise the Lord. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Maybe if you have your song sheets that was passed out, you could stand to your feet and we can sing that song. How many of you know this song? Okay, why don't we sing the unison on the first verse? And then afterward, you can just put it back in your little slots in the bench, then we can maybe home sing it for a couple Sundays until we learn it a little better.
Once I was bound by sin's galling fetters, chained like a slave, I struggled in vain. But I've received a glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine.
You can all sing parts.
Freedom from all the carnal affections, freedom from envy, hatred, and strife, freedom in vain and worldly ambitions, freedom from all that saddened my life. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. Freedom from pride and all sinful follies, freedom from love and glitter of gold, freedom from evil, temper and anger, glorious freedom, rapture untold. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. Freedom from fear and all of its torments, freedom from care with all of its pain, freedom from Christ, my blessed Redeemer. He has rent my fetters in twain.
Sing it out.
Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine.
You may be seated. The Lord bless you.